the Kruvin. Very interesting choice of word. Such a powerful word that became even an English word, cherubs. And in every language it refers to images of angels, but obviously the Torah initiates the word, although, interestingly enough, it seems like the Torah borrowed it, because the Gemara says in Sukkah, the Hamad Beis, my Kruv. What did the Kruvim look like? Where does the word come from? My Kruv. Amar Rabbi Avohu. We talk a lot about Rabbi Avohu today. Rabbi Avohu was a third generation Amora in the end of the third century. We'll talk about Rabbi Avohu and Ksuvas today, because Rabbi Avohu sent the money with his Shliach, so we'll see. There's a debate in Rishonim. Was he pre-Shavuos Hasseis or post-Shavuos Hasseis? Rabbi Avohu lived, where anyone know? He lived in Kisaria. He lived in Eretz Yisrael at a very advanced stage. Kisaria was important because it was a major, major commercial and political area. That's where, of course, those who visited it and know the history of Kisaria, it was a Roman, not so much a, it was a Roman fortress, but it was also a Roman commercial center because there's like a bay there, like a little lagoon. So you can have all the benefits of the sea without the roaring waves, and you could build commerce and palaces. So because of his position in Kisaria, so he was very involved in representing the Jewish community to the Romans, because the Romans ruled Kisaria. He was also extremely involved in polemics, because at that point, right by the 3rd century, the Christians had already started to make inroads. He was very involved in the polemics, and although he appears in halacha very often, and we'll learn not really halacha, but a situation with him today, he was known for his agada. He was a real powerhouse in agada. So there's actually a story at one point where him, I forget who, Bichia, were each teaching, and he was teaching agada, and Bichia was teaching halacha, and where do you think everyone ended up going to the agada share? And he, like, he gave some sort of mashal. It's a very interesting Amara, very important Amara. His Rabbanim, Rav Ami and Rav Asi, his Talmud was a Bizera. We haven't had Rav Bizera so much this year. But towards the end of the Amaram period, but this is, as we'll see today, going to the Rifa, not the tail end. So Rabbi Avohu says, Kiravya. The word Kruv comes from the word Kiravya. The kuf is not like, but the kuf is part of the verb, it's part of the noun, part of the root. Kiravya. What does Kiravya mean? So he says, Shekain bebavel karim liyanuka ravya. I'm sorry, actually, the kuf is not part. I don't know my Babylonian. The kuf is ki. In Babylonian, the word ravya was a child, was a baby. So kiravya, kruv means it looked like a baby. So the kruvim either looked like small children, that's what Chazal say, or even if they looked actually like babies, but there was an attempt to at least verbally create associations with babies, kiravya, like a child. And it's interesting that the Torah chooses a word that has Babylonian roots for the Kruvim. When does the Torah choose? Like totafos, which means tefillin shebero, Shebi Kiva said, it comes from the fact that in African, tat means two, and pot means two, so it means that there are four parshas in the tefillin. Great, but why did the Torah choose an African word to describe tefillin? Why does the Torah choose a Babylonian word to describe Kruvim? Anyway, the point is that one of the most iconic or symbolic parts of the Mishkan looked like a baby. What does that mean? So partially it means that there's an innocence that babies have. And the question is, how do you gain innocence? That's an oxymoron, because by definition, you can't achieve innocence. Innocence is something you have natively, and then you lose it as you go on in life, and as you become more older and sophisticated and developed, you lose your innocence. Those of you who like reading poetry, there's a very famous really 19th century poet called William Wordsworth, who wrote called Poems of Innocence, in which he tried to write poems from a child's standpoint, that people would be able to lock into that innocence. And then he wrote parallel poems called Poems of Experience, how do adults see those same experiences from a different vantage point, from different lenses. So it's very hard to tell you how to build the meat of innocence. You can't really build it. But part of it is as follows. Listen carefully. It's a little hard to convey. I hope I'll succeed. By definition, the more you grow in life, the smarter you get, the more sophisticated you get, the more wealthy you get, the more that you achieve is the more that you lose innocence. Because innocence is something native. So the example of an innocent being is a child. A child doesn't have any accomplishments, hasn't read anything, hasn't experienced anything. There's this pureness that we all sense inherently when we see a child. That child has a purity and innocence. And as you go on in life, you lose your innocence. And it's impossible not to. And the way that you regain some of that innocence, if it's a goal in life, is when you see people less than you. And I don't mean less morally. I mean, however you regard yourself, there's always someone you'll see as less educated, as less sophisticated, as less technological, as less engaged and less advanced in the world than you are. Very often we look at those people and we say, well, they have less to teach me about life because I've learned more, I've studied more, I'm more educated, I'm wealthier, I'm more technologically advanced, I'm more cultured, I'm more exposed. And you have to realize that that person has a lot to teach you, because that person, because they're less fill in the blank, they're more innocent. They haven't given up any of that simplicity, that tamimus, any of that innocence. So life is a balance between growth and sophistication and development and exposure, but also to try to retain the innocence. Sometimes when we look at people, we've talked a lot this year about Haredim, and the Haredi world is built upon limited exposure. So very often we look at limited exposure as, well, limited processing of life, limited. But sometimes limited exposure creates greater innocence, greater purity, or sometimes, okay, let's call it even more, naivete, people that are naive. We sometimes like to look at them and say, oh, they're words that people would use, simplistic and gullible, and all the words that people sometimes apply negatively. But if someone's intentionally naive, namely, I don't want to know all these sophisticated, deceitful things about the world. I just want to have a pure version of the world and know less and think in more, so to speak, simple terms. We would look at that, maybe people would look at it critically. And this Gemara is saying, no, there's an innocence that person can restore. So think about the pasuk in Shoftim, Tamim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha. The word Tamim means a lot of things, but also means to be a simple person. And that's really the challenge, I think, for guys in this room, for people that are trying to become sophisticated in life and exposed and complex and all the words that we use in a favorable sense, make sure there's a tamimos and an innocence that still remains. And that's why, as much as Am Yisrael accomplished, in fact, the Baal HaTurim quotes the pasuk, Nar Yisrael ve'ohavo, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at us as a child. And sometimes, like on Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, we ask Hashem, Kirachei Mavel Banim, we want to be seen as a child, Haben Yakvili Ephraim. So part of it is not just asking Hashem to see us that way, the pasuk in Hosea, Ki Nar Yisrael ve'ohavo, Hashem loves us like a child, but making yourself into like a child. So I quoted William Wordsworth before, and I'll just end off by quoting a very famous phrase you can just take away with you when you think about this. He once said, child is the father of man. Child is the father of man. This is an inversion, because basically children have fathers rather than being father. But he's trying to describe that children can teach us a lot. He didn't just mean children, although you speak to people that work with children, and when you do work with children, you realize they have a lot to teach you, especially younger children. But he meant child as innocence can teach man a lot, can father man. So child is the father of man. Think about that when you see the Kruvim looking like Tinoch.